As on New Year's Eve, we set the theme for what I believe the Lord wants to do with us as a congregation this year, as individuals and as and corporately. And I was talking about the glory of God, and the study on the Reformation was very, very impactive to me, and the idea that God alone gets the glory. And that's an amazing concept, and I'm going to be chatting about some of that a little bit more throughout in the next next couple of weeks anyway. But we talked about how we need to investigate in 21:8. Investigate the things of God. Investigate your Christianity. Investigate what God's doing in the situation. Investigate all the stuff that's happening, but God's doing something in the midst of it all. You know, sometimes, let me say, a lot of times stuff happens, doesn't it? Stuff happens in our lives. Difficult things happen. And you know what we do sometimes? We simply just kind of go with the flow. We just move with the flow. Don't make any waves. Don't do anything. We just move down the line. But sometimes I don't think we're supposed to just go with the flow. I think we're supposed to kind of go, God, what's going on here? Lord, what are you doing? Lord, what are you saying? I'm going through a difficulty right now. I can just simply endure it. Or maybe at times we're to ask the Lord, God, what are you doing? What's up? What's up, God? What's going on? I mean, what's going on right now, man? What's going on in my life? What's going on in the world? What's going on out there? We look and we see the news and we read stuff and we go, oh my gosh, what's going on? What's going on? God knows. What's going on? What are we doing? What are you saying? What are you doing? What are you saying to me? Are we asking those questions to God, and then are we listening to learn from it? You know, sometimes I think when stuff happens, we wonder, I thought God was supposed to be in control and make everything just wonderful. I don't know that that's the exact phrase we should say, that, well, God's in control. I do know this. God's not out of control, right? He's not out of control. He's not going, oh my gosh, I can't believe our president said that. I think he knows, right? I think he knows everything that's happening. I think when he goes, oh my gosh, what's happened to my life? He's not going, wow, didn't see that company coming. He knows it. He knows it, right? So he's got it under control. He's got it under control. God has it under control in your life. He's doing something. When it seems to you like he's out of control and he's not doing a very good job of governing, remember, he's got it under control and he knows what he's doing, and what he does is purposeful. We just have to find the purpose in it all. My point is this, that life happens. Stuff happens. God's there. He's got it under control. But he wants us to investigate. He wants us to investigate life and situations, relationships. He wants us to investigate what's going on in the news. He wants us to see it from his perspective. Also, I believe he wants us to investigate this. Yeah. Investigate his word, the New Testament. Only this much of, well, it's not even there. Look at that. It's only that much of this. Wow. Can you do it this year? Can you do it? I like this little video.
All right, you guys ready to go?
Uh-huh.
Are we there yet? Come on, let's go. Where are we going?
Bro.
What?
Have you read your Bible yet?
Dude, you act like a 5-year-old when you don't read your Bible.
Better?
Yeah, much better. Great, we can go now.
You're not you when you haven't read the Bible. The word satisfies.
You're not you when you don't read your Bible. Woo-hoo! You're acting like a 5-year-old. God, what are you doing? I'm so mad. You're not you when you don't read your Bible. I really want to encourage us this year. My heart is that every single person out there would be up here next year because we've all read through it. Now, you may not read it every day on the day. And let me tell you what, if you're starting right now today, start today. Do today's reading. And then tomorrow, pick up today, tomorrow's reading and pick up one chapter. And then the next day, do that reading and pick up one chapter. You're behind. Don't just go back. Start where we are and then fill in as you go, okay? Because I'm going to talk about stuff. And the last message we last Sunday was about the scripture that was that day's scripture. So get into the Word. Let the Word get into you. Investigate it. Maybe for some of you that are further along, why don't you get a commentary? Why don't you get a, make sure you're going through a devotional. Get some additional stuff. Investigate the Word. Look at something and go, wow, what does that mean? Pull out your phone and do some research. You can do a lot of research just on your phone. Let's investigate the Word. I believe Psalm 42:7 says that deep calls to deep. I believe this year, the depth of God's heart is calling to the depth of your heart. He's calling to you. He's calling out. Will you go deeper in me? The deep things of God, the things of the Spirit of God are calling out to the depth of you, which is the Spirit of God that's inside of you. Deep calls to deep. There's something in you, deep down in you, that God wants to tap into. Because honestly, that deep down thing of the Spirit that's in you, when God taps into it, it changes you. It levels you out. It gives you confidence. It gives you boldness. It changes your life. If you'll let Him, deep is calling to deep. And God wants you to tap in on it. And where is that depth that's inside of you? It's within you. Luke 17, 20 and 21 says, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, with just looking, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is, say it with me, within you. The kingdom of God is, where is the kingdom of God? It's in here. Don't you think He wants you to explore it? To look at it? To understand it? He's placed inside of you His Spirit. It's inside of you. You know, many of the Pharisees and the people of the day were looking for this external thing out here to happen. I think we even today look at all the external things out here and wonder, and we have all the speculation. And God's going, you want to get it on the kingdom? You need to look here because I've placed it inside of you. I've placed it inside of you. Why is that? Because the Spirit of God is what's inside of you. And the explanation of the kingdom of God and its power and its glory and its reality is done and decoded through the Holy Spirit that is inside of you as you accept Christ. God wants to communicate to us the deeper things, the deeper stuff of your life. In Colossians 1:27, it says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of His mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He wants us to investigate something that's in the Spirit. Something that when you get quiet and alone with God, He begins to speak to you. Something when you do your Bible study and your Bible reading and you pray, God starts moving. He's saying, hey, can you give me some time and investigate? Ask some questions. Dig a little bit deeper. There's so much stuff that's happening out there that God wants us to give us the insight in here. So that we know what to say to the people out there that are worried about everything that seems to be happening. I think about investigating. The word investigate, it means carry out a systematic or formal inquiry to discover and examine the facts of an incident so as to establish the truth. I added to this definition, this dictionary definition, establish the truth or spiritual meaning. You know, stuff is happening to all of us out here, difficult things. And it can cause us a lot of problems. It's caused me problems. But God is saying, hey, come to me. I want to give you an idea to look through a different filter, a different perspective, investigate this thing. Sometimes we just take it as face value. Oh, it must mean that. And God's going, wait, well, no, don't take it at face value. There's something deeper. There's something there. Oh, Lord, this is awful. He's going, oh, watch what I'm going to do deeper here and give me depth over time and watch me do miraculous things. He does. He does for all of us. I want to use an example. So we're going to spend the rest of our time this morning. An example from Moses. An example from Moses about investigating. Moses investigated the burning bush. And boy, did he discover some deeper spiritual truth and direction for his life. And I'm going to talk in this thing as we go through the scripture in Exodus 3, 1 through 12. I'm going to give you four costs to investigating. And I'm going to give you four benefits or results of investigation. Okay, so let's go. Exodus 3, 1 through 12 here. Remember, at this point, come on the scene. Remember that Moses has been, he grew up in Pharaoh's court. He's there for 40 years. He kills somebody. He leaves. He goes to Midian. He marries the priest of Midian, which was Jethro. It's right there. I just didn't look. Jethro's daughter. And then he's there for 40 years. Jethro's daughter. I said it right. You laughed at me. Oh, he married Jethro. Oh, okay. Thank you. He married Jethro's daughter. That wouldn't be good to marry Jethro. So he marries Jethro's daughter. He's a shepherd. He's been there for 40 years. 40 years in Pharaoh's court. 40 years now. In Midian. And here's a story. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert. And he came to Horeb, which is also Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. Two names for it, Horeb, also Sinai, the mountain of God. You can see the location here. There's Mount Sinai. There's a number of thoughts about where it could be down there. Somewhere on that tip, somewhere around in there is Mount Sinai. There's a picture of Mount Sinai. Beautiful place. Actually, the word Horeb or Mount Sinai, Horeb, means parched, dry, or desolate. You kind of get that idea from that mountain, wouldn't you? However, there's something amazing that takes place on that mountain, isn't it? Doesn't there? This is the same mountain that he would bring the people to after he leads them out of Egypt, and they would be at that base of that mountain, and God would speak to them. That mountain would come ablaze with fire. Powerful things were to happen. Now, I thought it was interesting here. He said he led the flock to the back of the desert. A location here is the desert. No, not just the desert. It's the back of the desert. Ever been there? Oh, you're not just in a desert time. You're in the back of the desert. You're not in the middle of nowhere. You're in the back of the middle of nowhere. Nowhere doesn't even know where you are. It's a tough time. It's a desert time. It's a dry time. It's tough. Nowhere. The world shies away from the middle of nowhere. But let me say this. But just past it, just past the desert to the back of it, is the mountain of God, where His presence is. You see, you're thinking you're stuck in this difficult time, and you're in the desert, and you're in the backside of the desert, and it's so terrible. He's going, oh wow, you're real close to the presence of God. Real close to that mountain where the presence of God is. Verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. This was probably a thorn bush. So he, Moses, looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Now that's an amazing thing. I think he scratched his head and goes, now that's odd. Now it wasn't odd that a bush could be on fire. Sure, a bush could be on fire. Everybody's seen a bush on fire. The odd thing was, the bush is on fire, and it just stays there. I've been watching, and it's not consumed. It's still there. The fire's in it, and yet it's not consumed. The fire of God's presence is in that bush, and that bush is not consumed. That's different. That isn't the way it's supposed to go. That's not how it's supposed to work. So he's intrigued. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside. He was involved. He was doing something. He had a job, a bunch of stuff, situations, circumstances. Stuff was happening, but he said, I will now turn away from that. I'll turn aside to see this great sight. Why? Why the bush does not burn? Why is this happening? Why is she? Why are they? Why is this? I will turn aside. Look. He looked. Moses investigates this phenomenon. He doesn't just say, oh, well, that's interesting, and pass by. He sees it, and then he investigates it. Investigates this wonder, this situation, this circumstance that must be from God or something going on. My observation is this. Investigation takes a decision. Investigation. You want to investigate the scriptures? You want to investigate the things God's doing in your life right now? It will take a decision. I will turn aside. I will turn aside. I will turn aside and begin to open this up and seek God in a different way. I will turn aside from all my complaining and I will ask God, what's going on? What's happening here, Lord? What are you doing in this? Lord, what is my part in this? Lord, I'm believing you. I'm investigating. Not just going with the flow. He's 80 years old and he's still curious. He's 80. How many people here are older than 80? Hallelujah. Two. Let's give him a hand. And you know what? And they're both in the church and they're still investigating. God bless you guys. Secondly, investigation takes action. It's interesting because the word will turn aside. The word turn aside means change direction. Going one way, I change direction. I've got to take some action. I've got to take some action. I've got to turn away. I've got to make a decision. And then I've got to take some action to do it. You got to do it. You can't just go, oh, put it on my pillow at night. Wake up in the morning and go, wow, I feel like the word of God has just saturated my mind. It's interesting that there was a middle-aged couple. They were walking their dog in California on their property in California, and they saw this metal piece of something flashing in the ground. They're walking the dog, and he decided to go and investigate. So he walks up to it and looks at it, and he finds a stick, and he starts digging out with a stick, digs it all out with a stick, and look what he found.
This morning you might find some of your neighbors grabbing shovels. A Northern California couple found a real-life treasure buried in their backyard. Then Tracy shows us how it will make them accidental millionaires.
This is what $10 million worth of gold coins look like. These rare coins date back to the mid to late 1800s. A Northern California couple says they were hiking on their property last February when they saw an old tin can poking out of the ground.
It was a weird little secluded place that no one would have really had easy access to.
They dug up a total of 8 cans filled with more than 1,400 mint condition solid gold coins.
Well, this doesn't happen every day.
Don Kagan is the coin dealer the couple contacted. They have chosen to remain anonymous and keep the exact location of their property secret now that the coins are ready for sale.
Well, it's a great story because it was a relatively young couple, early 40s, who out with their dog, and they've been on this path and trail that they've been on their property for many, many years. And they discover this pot of gold. At the end of the rainbow, perhaps.
Kagan says whoever buried the coins did it over a number of years because they're dated from 1847 to 1894, the time of the fabled California gold rush. Because they were buried and out of circulation, they're in pristine condition. They're going up for sale, and the rarest coin in the collection could fetch $1 million on its own.
It was a pretty incredible experience being able to sit across the table from these people and say, you know, not only is it dollar signs in the ground, you found things that are historically important because of the condition that you found them in.
Kagan says the pair plans to use the multi-million dollar windfall to pay off bills and quietly donate the rest to local charities.
Wow. What might be in your backyard? Don't dig it up. Spiritually, what might be in your backyard if you just decided to dig it up? What if you decided to dig up and cultivate your relationship with Jesus Christ? What might you find of pristine value? I guarantee you, you'll find something. I thought it was interesting because this couple was really close to losing their home. They were in some financial difficulty and thought they might lose their home. They found this, they were able to pay off all of that, and then they gave the majority of that to charities. How cool is that? You see, when you dig up something from the Lord, He doesn't want you just to keep it all. You give it away to somebody. You see, something you dig out of the Word this morning, you find it, and it ministers to you, and then you share it with somebody else, and it ministers to them, and it changes their life. You begin to give away of the treasure that God has placed inside of you. But you'll never get there. You'll never have anything to give away. You'll never go deeper in your relationship with Christ if you don't investigate the stuff He puts in front of you. Investigate. 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 What might you dig up if you do? Verse 4. Now notice this. So when the Lord saw that he turned. Important. When the Lord saw that he turned aside, that he changed his direction, that he let go of what was happening there in his day-to-day life, and he came to investigate, when he saw that he turned aside to look, God called him. God called him when he started to look. God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, when you start investigating, you turn around and you start to make a movement toward God. Hey, you. All of a sudden he calls out to us because he saw something in Moses. God did something miraculous and then waits to see what Moses will do. Will he pass by or will he investigate? And when Moses makes a move toward God, God makes a move toward Moses in a profound way. Here's my thought. God is looking for your movement toward Him. He responds so favorably to your investigation of Him. I'll tell you what, you start investigating in the Scriptures, investigating asking God, investigating in prayer, you start honing your spiritual life, and I'll tell you what, it will yield dividends that will blow you away. He will move favorably. Will you pass by or will you investigate? God is calling us to something deeper, but He waits to see if we really, really want it. I have something great for you. Oh, great. Put it on my back porch. I'll see it tomorrow. If God wants me to have it, He'll just deposit it on my doorstep. Oh, He does some things. Not all things. At times He says, hey. Do you want to investigate? Do you want to take a deeper look? Will you move toward me? Let me say this. Is your relationship with God one of conviction or convenience? Is your relationship with God one of conviction or convenience? The fact you read the Bible every day or trying to get through it this year, is it one out of convenience? Well, if it works out for me, it's convenient. I'm going to do it. Yeah, if it just works and it's easy, Convenience means easy. Convenience is TV dinner. Convenience is fast food. Convenient. If it's convenient, I'll do it. What if we did it out of conviction? Oh, Lord, I have a relationship with you. I want to dig into your word. I want to dig into the situations. I want to know what you think about what's going on. I know what all the talking heads say about what's going on. I want to know what you think about what's going on. Oh, God doesn't talk to me. Oh, have you asked him? Have you asked him? What if Moses would have said, it's too inconvenient, I don't want to do that? What happens? I know God gets somebody else, I guess. He gets Jethro. Here's another observation. Investigation takes hunger. You got to want it. You got to be hungry for it. I'll tell you what, have you ever fasted for a number of days and then you see food and you're just going, you can smell it on the TV. Pizza's there and you're going, oh my God, I can smell the pizza right through the TV. It's like a scratch and sniff right there and you're set. Are you hungry? Are you hungry for the Word of God? Are you hungry? Are you hungry? Continuing on. And Moses says, here I am! God's calling him. He investigates. Then he dialogues with God and God says, Moses, Moses, here I am. I'm here. I'm here where you want me to be. I got my ear poised toward you. What are you saying? Here I am. I love this part here then. Then he said, God said, do not draw near this place. Oh, geez, what the heck? Come, don't stop. Come, go. I don't know. Heck, I thought we were supposed to come. You, and I said, here am I. And I said, no, stop. Jeez. Oh, it took a lot just to get to here, okay? And now you're telling me stop? Do not draw near this place. Stop. You got to do something first. Take your sandals off your feet, for this place where you stand is holy ground. You see, when you start investigating with God, it's a holy encounter.
Yeah.
It's holy ground. He tells you stop. You're going to have to do something where you have to take your shoes off. Take your shoes off. Take your shoes off. Oh, it's just dirt. It's just dirt. But when God's there, it's holy ground. It's just a situation. It's just a circumstance. But when God's there, it's holy ground. Oh, it's just a this. It's just a that. It's just. But when God's there, it's holy ground. He's got something for you there. He's got something for you there. Stop. You can't come any further, receive any more until you realize that this is holy ground. Stop. You can't proceed further until you take your shoes off. It takes a response from us. Take your shoes off and then proceed. And let me say it this way. You can't get to holiness in your own shoes. You can't get to holiness in your own shoes, in your own efforts, in your own work, in your own stuff. It takes a supernatural thing. The only reason you're holy is because God made you holy. Not because of all that you did. Stop. Take your shoes off. Remember, it's not by any works. It's not by anything else. You're holy because I made you holy. Recognize that. Take your shoes off. And I think about taking your shoes off. Have you ever come to somebody's house and they have this on there and they have a nice welcome mat? Seen that? Can you see it? Does it say welcome there somewhere? Welcome, welcome. And so you're there and you're going, you come to somebody's house. And when you come to somebody's house and you're welcome to be there. Now here's an interesting thing that happens. This place is brand new. It's got white carpet everywhere. It's just beautiful. Awesome place. White carpet everywhere. What do you do before you come in? Wipe your feet. And then what do you do in some people's homes? You take your shoes off. Now, let me say this. Knowing that, it's what it takes. If I'm dropping something by, I drop it by, I knock on the door, knock, 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 knock. The door opens up and they go, hey! Hey! Here's this thing! And they come and they grab it and I go, hey, hey, great to see you. And go, you know what happens? When you just stay here, you're just doing a fast little meeting. But there's something when you sit down and you decide to take your shoes off that means you want to come in and you want to sit down and you want to snuggle and you want to relate and you want to talk and you ain't going nowhere. Why? Because you took your shoes off. You're willing now to take the time for relationship. Take your shoes off. You see, there was something. I know this is bothering some people, so let me do that. I know a bunch of people going, oh, God, this doesn't work. All the O's out there are going, no, that's not right. Welcome. I've told you, hey, can put on with your makeup and all that stuff. You can give them the report and all that. Stand on the welcome mat. Read your Bible. But every once in a while, can I encourage you? Take your shoes off. Stay a while. Come into holiness. And watch what holiness does for your soul when you linger in it for a little while. It changes your outlook. It changes your perspective on circumstances. It changes everything. Linger. Observation is this. Investigation takes time. Time. It takes time. And the more you linger, the more you see, the more you hear, hurry up and slow down, right? Hurry up and slow down. In Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Oh, Moses. The place that God is drawing us to is holy. God takes you deeper. God will show you the holiness in it all. All the stuff that's happened in your life, God will show you the holiness in it all, the purpose in it all, the beauty in it all. Maybe not completely or totally, but He'll begin to speak to you and talk to you about the things that He sees. So you can look at things with a different perspective. You can see Him from His point of view, from God's point. Investigation. As you do that, investigation gives us revelation. Yeah, good. Investigation gives us revelation. We're moving from the cost, what it takes, to what it gives. Well, it takes all those four things, but what does it give you back? A revelation. You get God's heart on the situation, on the problem, on the circumstance. You get God's heart. Look at verse 6. Moreover, He said, I am the God. Here's the revelation. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Because he knew Exodus 33:20. You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. He knew, he was afraid. Now he's in the presence of all this, going, oh God, you're so, if that's who it is, I just can't even look into your eyes. He gets a revelation though of God's heart. He's with God. But he said, verse 7. He reveals in that first part who he is. That's the revelation, who he is. He's God. He's got it under control. And secondly, he reveals what he wants you to do. Verse 7. The Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. They've been there for 400 and some odd years. And to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. I know you're in a tough situation, and a bad time, and tough things, but I'm going to do some positive, powerful things in your life, and you'll see it differently. To the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Wow. That's a lot when he investigated. Another observation. Investigation gives us revelation of God's heart, or God's heart. Investigation gives us expectation. That was one of the prophetic words this morning. God's investigation gives us expectation. God's purpose. God's purpose, things to look forward to, things to realize that God wants to do in your life, things of expectation that God wants to do in and through you as he speaks to you, as he tells you. It gives you a vision. Verse 11, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? In the investigation, now this is in the investigation process, he feels a little hesitation and consternation here, right? God speaks to you, tells you some stuff. You're going, now that's too much. That's too big. I think we feel sometimes a little hesitation, a little consternation with this. So God says, I will certainly be with you. I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't say that. I can't be that. I can't change that. I will certainly be with you. And this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. My final observation here. Third. Investigation gives us impartation. It gives us God's presence. You investigate, further reality of his presence inside of you happens. It happens. It happens. So we know the story. Moses obeys. He takes the children of Israel out of Egypt. You know the plagues and all that stuff. He leads them all the way out. And he leads them to that mountain, that desolate spot. And he goes up to the top of that mountain, and that mountain is on fire with the presence of God. It's interesting that the burning bush was on fire with the presence of God. You know what we find out from that? And the fire of God's presence is on Mount Sinai, and Moses is up there. Moses is on the mountain with fire. The bush is on fire. But that fire, which represented the presence of God, did not consume the bush. You see, God's powerful presence and fire doesn't consume you. It purifies you. It doesn't burn you up. It changes you up. It changes you up. He takes them out, brings them to that mountain. They're at the mountain. They're at the foot of the mountain. He goes up. He comes down. He's got the Ten Commandments in his hand. Two plates written on both sides. He comes down from the mountain. Here's what happens. Exodus 34:29. That was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. The skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Something happens to you when you talk to God. You have an encounter with God. Something visibly happens in your demeanor, in your countenance. in your radiance. As you know, God is in charge of it all. My final observation. Investigation leads to transformation. God's glory. Something about you changes when you're with God. Something about you changes from that backseat five-year-old. And you've been with God. Something happens. Something happens. You turn into Pastor Dan. Something happens when you spend time with God. When you investigate. Take it deeper. This year, reading through the New Testament, please, please, please investigate. Please get through it this year. Get through the New Testament. Just the New Testament. Just read it. It'll change your life. And as you're reading it, ask some questions. And ponder that through your day. Lord, what does that mean? Ask Him. You have not because you ask not. Are you asking Him? Lord, what does that mean? What's going on here? What does that mean to me? What are you saying to me? God wants to transform you. The transformation takes place in His presence, in His holiness. As you linger there, spend just a little bit of time. Take all the quick ones. That's fine. Quick, 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 quick. Every once in a while, investigate deeper. But you know what? You got to be in there every day, even though it's quick, so you have some thoughts to investigate. So I'm not worried about, hey, I just spent 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 minutes. I spent 20 this day. Wow, awesome. Or I was walking up on campus, I've just been thinking about that. Thinking about that. I was sharing with my friend, hey, I was reading this. What do you think that means? What do you think? What if? And all of a sudden, life is bringing up all over as we're talking about the things of God. That's what makes the church healthy. This, if we're a club, we're miserable. That's not health. Health is talking to God. Investigate in 21:8. Investigate God. Investigate what He's doing. And you might find a pot of gold at the end of it. Investigate in 21:8. Investigate the Word. It takes a decision. It takes action. It takes hunger. And it takes time, I know. But it leads to revelation, expectation, impartation, and transformation. Deep is calling to deep. And He's calling your name. And He's just waiting. He's just waiting. He's just waiting for you to turn your head, to turn aside, and take a look. Let's pray. Father, I thank You that You're amazing, that You're awesome, that You're outstanding. I pray, oh God, that You would help us this year to investigate, to get into Your Word, to be talking to You, to be into prayer, and to commune with You, and ask You questions, and dig into Your Word, and relate with other people. And God, that You would take us deeper. You'd take us deeper, and that You would transform us in the process. As we start to look more and more and more like the company we keep, Your Holy Spirit and Your presence. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We love You so much. Help us. Draw us. Compel us. We want more of what You have to give. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't just stop at the face value of things. God's doing something. Search it out. Investigate in 21:8. Next week, Carrie and I are at a wedding. Not ours. Jethro's daughter is getting married. And no. My niece is. And next week, there's a fantastic message about investigate in relationships. in order to investigate relations through the aspect of small groups. Pastor Dan's going to do an amazing job. So we're working on a message there. It's going to be absolutely transformational. Investigate relationship. It's powerful. And it's what we need to do. I love you guys so much. My prayer for all of us this year is that we would have so much fun talking about God and what He's doing that it just puts goosebumps on all of us. God bless you. What's that? Oh, go to the back. If you're new around here, go to the back. Pastor Dan will be back there and chat with you about all the different things we have to offer here. Just to get to know us a little bit. Just go back there right now and he'll meet you back there. Love you guys. Investigate! 21:8.